Well, welcome along to the podcast. I don't even know what the day of the week it is, Millsy. Is it a Wednesday?
Couldn't tell you.
That's nothing new for you. Nothing new for you. Double hitter this weekend. The All Blacks taking on the Wallabies at Eden Park and the Black Ferns taking on the Wallaroos, the second of two Laurie O'Riley Memorial Cup test matches for the year. And to get us underway on the short ball today, Millsy, our favourite fullback. My equal favourite fullback, Salika Winiata, joins us out of the Black Ferns camp. Morning to you, Shorty.
Morning, how are you?
We're not bad. How are you guys after Saturday night at ANZ Stadium? Another impressive victory over your trans-Tasman neighbours?
Yeah, look, we're pretty happy with getting that win, but clearly a bit rusty in some areas. So this week's just about polishing off those areas so that we bring out a better performance this weekend.
You didn't get the ball much, Shorty. I could see you out there getting a bit frustrated. Do you have you basically told the youngsters in the team to give the ball to me and give me more of a chance?
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating for the outside backs that game. But, you know, our forwards really dominated up front, especially when we got close to the line. You know, a few rolling balls and old Phoebe was pretty greedy with the ball. Didn't want to give it to anybody else. It's worth a try.
I noticed that. I was just thinking about, obviously I had the privilege of commentating the game with Sarah Goss, and we enjoyed it immensely. It was really tight, especially through that first half. But I thought, Salika, and I'd love to get your perspective, that their midfield, which two debutants involved, Maguire and Fatai, I thought they did a really good job just shutting down the width for you guys. Is that something you've thought about during the week?
Yeah, look, we thought that they brought a lot of heat in that midfield, which stopped us from getting the ball out wide, and that's something that we've looked at this week. And we do have a pretty lethal back line, and we want to be able to expose it in all areas, so that's something that we've been working on this week.
Shorty, I mean, you talk about preparation and things like that. How was, I suppose, your time over in Australia? I mean, it's not something you guys have been used to. You usually sort of come in for three or so days, I believe, in the past, and then just sort of play. You obviously have spoken about the rustiness. What have you taken, what are the learnings you've taken from, I suppose, the preparations, you know, leading into this second game?
I think, the girls, after having the first test match under their belt, realised that, we knew that Aussie were going to be stronger than what they've been in the past, and they definitely showed that on Saturday. But also just making sure that we're executing our core roles properly, and if we can do that, then generally the outcome will take care of itself. So, overall, we're happy with the win, but clearly we want to be a little higher leading into this test match.
Shorty, there's been a bit of talk this week about the fact that you guys weren't allowed to warm up on the pitch, which was a little bit discombobulating, sitting up in the commentary box waiting for the game, wondering where everyone had disappeared to. I understand it won't be repeated this week. You're going to have all the courtesies offered to you. That's going to hopefully make somewhat of a difference as well, just knowing that you're actually in a test match environment.
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess for us, you know, we get off the bus and all of that preparation's already been done before we get there. So as girls, we're pretty resilient both on and off the field. And we're so focused on, you know, just wanting to warm up and get out there and play the game that, yeah, it might have been a real small place to be warming up. But we just take what we get. That'd be great.
Sure. So where did you guys –
She's gone. That's it. Salika Winiata is not answering any more questions on the short ball today. We've lost her. We'll get her back.
She'll adjust.
She will adjust. While we're waiting for Salika to get back on the short ball this morning, Millsy. I loved that game.
I only caught the back end of it because I was commentating the Auckland counties
secondary
game.
School Swan. Oh, the counties game.
Yeah, so I caught the back end of it, and by then it was actually when Fee scored her third try. So
Hungus. She is total hungus.
So I've seen a few of the replays because we had the post-match show as well. But it was interesting to hear that. And that was the first story that came out, the fact they weren't allowed to warm up on the field. And I was a little, it's quite sad, you know, when you think this whole thing about it was the first time a double header was going to sort of come to fruition, and all of a sudden, you know, you're still talking about you know, things like that. And so I'm glad they're going to try and fix it. But the game itself, you know, looked you know, pleasing, and a lot of debutants as well, which is I suppose what Shorty was talking about, the fact that there were some you know, younger you know, players in there, and the fact that the midfield of Australia, or the Wallaroos, you know, they definitely stood up. Yeah, so there'll be a big battle this weekend.
Yeah, well, Sarah Riordan had been invalided out of training. One of their veteran midfielders, Crystal Maguire, on debut. I thought Fatai and Maguire, their midfield, were outstanding, and their two new Lucys as well. You know, look, Emily Chancellor and Georgia O'Neill, who were playing 6 and 7 respectively. Throughout that second half in particular, Emily Chancellor, I know they're in the losing team.
Chancellor was the one that
set up the try, the last try.
No, she ran down...
yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, I know she
ran down Renee Whitcliffe.
Whitcliffe.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Yeah. True.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're just looking at a performance like that, and I think there is a lot of respect from the Black Ferns for the Wallaroos, and they know that having had Super W now in operation this season, having that experience, having state camps where they're in camp and training... they're going to close the gap.
Yeah.
And there was one other player on the field that we haven't talked about, and that was Salika's opposite, Mahalia Murphy. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a weapon. Seriously, if they had been able to get more ball and give it to her, that could have been a very different scoreline on Saturday night.
Isn't this what we've wanted? This is why this is so good. You know, you see the Super W and what it's done for the Wallaroos, and now we're constantly seeing, you know, earlier days, the Black Ferns would have been dominated. No one would have even looked at it because they know, oh, no, it's a 50-50
point. 15-0 against Australia.
Exactly.
Against
now, this year has actually created you know, massive talk around, and it's actually going to be a massive game come Saturday.
It's funny, I was tweeting out about the fact they weren't allowed to warm up on the field. I mean, I'm disgusted by that.
Where do they actually warm up?
Like, they had a little 40-by-40-metre field. They literally warmed up together. The teams warmed up together on a 40-by-40-metre
warm-up room underneath the stadium.
The artificial turf warm-up room.
Oh,
are you kidding me? Oh. Anyway, but there was there's some battler coming at me at Twitter saying, no one likes women's rugby. And I'm just looking at going, mate, don't get all incel up in here. I like women's rugby. Are you kidding me? Viewer numbers, I understand, are sensational. And I can tell you on the pod today that Rugby Pass is going to be streaming the game through Asia as well, Milsey, which is great.
That's fantastic.
Even more growth for their audience. But I spoke to the Black Ferns communications manager, Meredith Keys, today. She said the viewer numbers were sensational for them. So hopefully we can have a repeat. And look, I know it's a long day to go to Eden Park and watch two games of footy, but I urge you, if you're in the vicinity, if you're thinking about going there, I'll tell you what, here's another idea for you, right? Because we love ideas on the short ball. If you really wanted to attract people there, why don't you say, come early and the first drink's on us at Eden Park.
Or
your first something's on us at Eden Park. So you can come along and we'll make sure that there's something happening for you. We're going to reward you for turning up for game one of this doubleheader. Mm. Reward you. I don't need any inducement to go and watch the Black Ferns play, but I'm guessing a lot of people probably do.
Mm.
They're sitting there thinking, yeah, well, we're going to do all of our pre-match functions. We're going to meet at this bar. We're going to meet at that bar, that restaurant. No.
Get on down.
Get down there.
Get on down.
Value for money. Hello, Producer Alice.
Hi there.
What's going on with you?
Not much. I saved some ducklings this morning, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Where for later or
No, they were crossing the road, and all these cars were just kind of speeding past and trying to just like speeding through this group of ducklings.
So what did you do? You ran onto the road.
It's not a super busy road,
right?
But there were a few cars, and I just kind of put my hands out like some Wonder Woman.
And they stopped. They actually stopped.
You stopped traffic.
The cars stopped. And then I ushered the ducks off. And then I got a few like friendly waves and toots. And
You're the duck whisperer.
Yeah.
You are the duck whisperer.
Basically.
That's great. What did you make of the Black Ferns on the weekend? Do you like that result?
Great. Absolutely great. It does make me very frustrated. Obviously, like you guys probably are, about the training thing. I don't want to dwell on it for too long because they've got another game this weekend, but it makes me mad that just talking to Salika before when she was saying that you know, they've built up a resilience to things like that. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have to.
That's the point, right?
That's the whole point. They just shouldn't have to build up a resilience. The All Blacks don't have to build up a resilience to stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's the mealy-mouth answers you get. Madeline Chapman writing for the spin-off asked ANZ Stadium, well, asked Rugby Australia, you know, why, and they said, oh, it's policy. But in the same breath, they're saying it's the first time we've ever done it. So what, you've got a policy for the first time you've ever done something? That's an amazing bit of policy making. We've got a policy in place before we've actually had the event. You know, policy schmolicy. It's a test match. Treat it as a test match. And it doesn't matter whether it's a women's test match or a men's test match. It is a test match. It sucks.
Policy.
And you know what else I would say on that? I'm complaining about it because it infuriates me, but not one of those Black Ferns would have said a word about it. Mm. Would have said a word about it. And you know what? They had every right to, but they just wouldn't because that's just not how they're built together. And you can hear that from Salika's answer. Oh, well, we'll carry on and get what we're given. And it's like, no.
They have every right to, but they shouldn't have to.
No.
They should never have to.
Well, they could have used it as an excuse for a slow start, you know? But they're not going to.
Do you know what? And here's the thing. If any men's rugby team in the world was treated like that didn't get the performance in the game, that would have been the first thing they would have complained about. The first thing.
Why didn't you do your KPIs?
We didn't have proper facilities. So no, we just weren't happy with the warm-up here. The first thing that would have happened is the blokes would have been up in arms about that. Tell me I'm wrong, Millsy. Tell me I'm wrong.
Not guys in black jerseys, mate. They never complain.
No, guys in black jerseys never complain. Speaking of guys in black jerseys, we'll move on from the Black Ferns. I don't know what's happened to Shorty. She's gassed us this morning.
Is she working? No, she's in camp.
She's in camp. Maybe she had to make an arrest, an off-duty arrest.
Fia'o had to go and give evidence yesterday, so she missed training.
So Fia'o had to go and give evidence in a trial,
Yeah,
which she had worked on, and I understand that trial. And by the way, if you ever want to think about how professional Fia'o Faamausili is, you ever think about the kind of work that she does for the New Zealand Police and then to go and score a hat-trick in a test match? Wowee! She has got multitasking on lockdown. Three policewomen in that team. Mm. I would hate to get in trouble around the Black Ferns.
Yeah, don't muck around there,
do you? You would be arm-barred. You would be battened. I wonder if they carry a taser. I would like to know if anyone takes a taser on tour. You could. A little lockbox with the gun in it out of the cop car. Anyway, we've got to move on to the All Blacks. Millsy, it was, I'm just going to say it, the only ability the Wallabies seem to have against the All Blacks at the moment is inevitability.
Oh.
That was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Did you
get that feeling in the first half when they scored the try? Aaron Smith scored just before the break. Did you get the feeling? Mm. Did you get that whole Crusaders familiarity feeling going on?
Yeah, and considering all the pressure that the Wallabies put on them. And I thought Pocock was awesome. And they were right on the button, like, you know, even slowing their ball down. They sort of released it at the right time, but it was just enough to disrupt the All Blacks. But you can't, 6 points is not enough. And that's perhaps why Hooper was constantly complaining in that first, you know, well, wasn't complaining, he was in the ref's ear. Because, you know, when you go into the break and the All Blacks have just scored, you know there's plenty more coming. And that's what happened.
Well, Ben Smith was writing on Rugby Pass this week and just saying Michael Hooper was in the ref's ear, Jaco Paper, saying, hey, that's cost us a try. But then you took the shot for goal. Well, that's your decision.
Mm.
That's your decision then to say, well, we didn't score a try on that occasion because the All Blacks infringed, but now instead we're going to take 3 points.
Yeah.
There is not a team in the world that is going to build 3 points on 3 points on 3 points and beat this All Black team.
No.
You've got to score tries.
No, and that's the thing. What's the concerning bit about the Wallabies is the fact that the depth of the All Blacks is just massive. I mean, you look when Kefri went off. And, I mean, the All Blacks were dominating in the set piece anyway at that time. But you bring someone else on and they just get demolished. Now, Israel Folau's out. Yes, I know they've got a couple of young, well, not too sure who they're going to pick at the back there. But who do you replace Israel Folau?
There is no replacement for Israel Folau. And that's the problem. you know, we take out Rico Ioane out of the All Blacks, who's not going to play this game, and you've got a replacement.
Well, look at Ryan Crotty.
That's right.
You've got a replacement.
You can take Ryan Crotty out. Now, whether they bring Ngani Laumapi straight back into the camp and play him, that's an option for them. Whether they put Anton Leonard-Brown and Jack Goodhue in 12 and 13, that's an option for them. You take away Rico Ioane, you can move Waisaki Naholo over to his wing. You can put Ben Smith on the right. You can move Jordy Barrett to fullback. You can start Damien McKenzie. I mean, the options are limitless. They seem limitless for the All Blacks. Whereas you take Israel Folau out and you look around that team and you think to yourself, Jack Maddox in test number two at fullback on Eden Park against the All Blacks. Nothing wrong, but test number two. And you'll highball the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And you'll just zap him big time and just drain him with high balls and move him around the park. But, oh.
You know, the All Blacks complain a lot about the fact that their set-piece attack wasn't working. And, you know, we could talk about the reasons why, and we can talk about Australia's defensive system on them. And, you know, I think Australia have developed a defensive system that's a little bit better off set-piece. But that's not where the game was won and lost for me. The game is won on their transition D. And, you know, Marty Veal, who, you know, former Canterbury man and Northland man who's been coaching up in New York, is watching the game. We were chatting during the All Blacks game, and he used this phrase. He said, the All Blacks energy system is unbelievable. I wanted to talk to you today on the short ball about energy systems. How do the All Blacks create the system that other teams really struggle to stay with? Because I don't think it's changed a lot since you were playing for the All Blacks, has it, Millsy? Is it something that you're focused on all the time?
Oh, there is. And there's always that constant, I mean, whether you've lost the ball or not, I mean, they go on about it, you know, time in, time out. As soon as you lose the ball, you've got to get into that mentality of, holy crap, let's get into our system, let's get into it. But it's all right trying to get into our system and have the urgency to get in there. You've also got to give voice and making sure you're connected. Vice versa, when there's a turnover, how excited do people get when all of a sudden you've turned over the ball? You've got to get back, face up, get a little bit of width, and then sort of have that two passes to go. But not only be able to do that, but also execute. And that's what you're talking about, the transition going from being excited, not only when you've turned the ball over to the opposition and getting your system right, because, you know, that was the difference. You seen when the Wallabies got a few turnovers. They just couldn't do anything with it because the All Blacks got, I think it's 2 or 3 seconds you've got to get in. It was always Smithy's thing, you know, get in, get in, get in. And then all of a sudden, turnover, it was like click plays. You know, get your width, go wide. It doesn't matter what number you've got on your back. And that's the energy you bring. Another thing we always just talk about at halftime, you know, and you see it. I don't think I'm giving away a secret here at all, but your energy level there. When you look at halftime and you look at the body language of some of the teams, you know, halftime, okay, you kind of think, okay, we refocus, we walk back. With the All Blacks, you might see it. I don't know if they still do it, but we sort of made sure, no matter how tired you were, you got back up. Body language is everything. You're coming off and you're jogging off because you've got plenty in the tank. And you may not have, but the perception is to the guy that you've just run past who's got his head down walking about, thinking about that nice cold bit of Gatorade he's about to have, is that, man, this team here has just absorbed all that pressure. We're up 6, they've just scored before half time, and at 6-5, this guy's jogging past me as if, wow, that was nothing. And that's the energy and the mental game that the All Blacks bring that you don't actually see.
That's what allows them to score tries from turnovers. And there's nothing new about the All Blacks scoring tries from turnovers. That's what they do. They punish mistakes. And the Wallabies seem at the moment incapable of punishing the All Blacks' mistakes. And the All Blacks make mistakes. Because of the way they play, because of the way they're structured, and because there's a feeling that, you know, we're going to add more and more complexity year on year into our game plan, there are opportunities to make those plays count. But this is the thing that intrigues me about the energy system, so to speak. It's so up. Oh, it's man. So ready. It's so the Bowden Barrett kick through off a Dane Haylett-Petty drop. I mean, who does that? The bloke's just been sitting there literally flat-footed on a defensive screen as they're trying to catfish the All Blacks. And next thing you know, he's run 40 metres, kicked the ball 3 times and dived over the line. Now, I watch the Australian faces, and not just Michael Checkers in the coaching box, because I'm so tired of that meme of Australian rugby, a frustrated coach in the coach's box. Yeah, you know, if I was Australian rugby, the first thing I would do was say to the broadcasters, can you stop showing pictures of Michael Checker? That, because that is all Australian rugby fans have known now for 3 years.
Yeah, I know.
And I looked at the body language. You know, there's this sense with the Australian team that, oh my God, one mistake and we're behind our own goalposts.
Exactly.
But you don't see the All Blacks drop their heads like that.
No.
You see them get back quickly,
yep,
into formation, have a brief discussion, get back to work.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, there's two, I suppose, contrasting sort of plays in the game on the weekend. And I talked about energy and things like that. You look at the Brodie Retallick turnover when he turned it over and ended up scoring from that.
Now, massively illegal, by the way. But anyway,
yeah, it was. We'll I thought that at the time too. But the energy to be able to get to width, which they went to the right hand side, everyone got back to width. They got into their own sort of facilities, as Steve Hansen would call it. Mm-hmm. To me at that time, I just thought to myself, that's the perfect. That sort of, to me, showed the con games we used to play. Get in your facilities, that's what he used to say, turn over the ball, yeah, and you chucked it. But, man, the energy in it. But also the trust. I mean, did you see Brodie Retallick from that play when he turned it over, all of a sudden think to himself, I've got to get all the way to the other side and clean rucks? No, he didn't, because he knew someone else was going to be there. He dropped, got a bit of width, the ball came back to him. He ended up dummy passing and scoring. And then that's the trust you have. But it was everything of that conditioned game that we always played with Steve Hansen, the fact that you had to have someone, and we played width, so it was long ways, a shorter field, but you had to have someone in the outside channels all the time, otherwise it was a turnover ball. Everyone got width, everyone got lots of energy. Compared to, I mean, I know they scored, who was it, the Maddox scored, but the All Blacks broke, you know, you thought they would have scored from right down the other end of the field. They turned it over, but everyone also busted butt to get back. And, you know, the Aussies done well to score off it, but you just seen the energy in both aspects of the game, both defensively and on attack, from what the All Blacks were bringing.
It's going to be an intriguing test match at Eden Park, because I don't think there is a single rugby fan who thinks Australia's got a chance in this one. Now, that can be a really dangerous proposition, of course, when you go in with that kind of confidence into a game. But look, you know, I've spent 3 years talking Australia up in the first Blizzard Lake Cup test of the year. And I don't know where to go anymore, because to me, they watched the Blizzard Lake Cup disappear last week. They watched.
Yeah.
And yes, I know I'm not taking away from some of the effort of the players out there, and I never would, because, you know, a test is a test, but they didn't watch because they sat back. They watched because they had no other choice. They were spectators watching the All Blacks play footy. And you can't tell me that in the space of a week they're going to fix the things that need fixing.
Yeah.
Because it's not lineouts and it's not scrums. I know they don't help. But there is a general skill level and game awareness that is lacking.
Yeah, that's the difference. I mean, there's a bit of talk now about whether Michael Checker is right. I mean, I don't mind him. I don't know him, but what he's actually trying to bring and what he's sort of tried to do in this environment is have those guys believe they can do it. The problem that he's got is just there's just a different type of skill level, and that's the difference between the two teams. He's dead set on his ways. He's trying to bring some confidence within the team, which there is, but the skill level of both teams is they're miles apart, absolutely miles apart.
Speaking of skill level, we haven't even touched on the last couple of weeks on the Springboks. Argentina, the Box getting a good win. The Argentinians didn't exactly, they didn't sort of hold back, did they? They were in the mixer for periods in that game. But, you know, I think too that Springboks side just looks so full of hype. It's a great team to watch.
It's pretty unreal, isn't it? And when you think about the way they played against the English and the June internationals, and now leading into this, I mean, they'll be brewing for to get into the All Blacks. So I'm looking forward to it, because they have got quite a bit of talent, and there's some good stuff coming out of Springbok rugby at the moment.
Well led too by Sia Kulisi. I think the Box get the job done over the Argentinians this week again. A tougher assignment always over in Argentina, but I can't see them being headed, which means, yeah, you're likely to have two unbeaten teams going head-to-head in Nelson, of all places. Trafalgar Park. What a test for Trafalgar Park. Is it Trafalgar Park or is that Argentina?
It's Argentina.
It's Argentina.
It's Wellington, mate.
Wellington. Ah, no one likes playing there.
Why?
It's cold.
I always hate waking up the day of the test match and then opening your curtains and you looked outside because there's flags outside the Intercontinental.
You just looked out and saw a 3-year-old blowing down Featherston Street.
Damn, I'm going to get some highballs today. The whole week was so clear and those highballs just set up there nicely and damn, I look good during training, but I don't know what it's going to be like tonight.
Yeah, you're like a cartoon character just running interference, trying to figure out where that ball's going to land.
No, I pulled rank. Your ball?
Yeah, just
yours?
You and CJ. Just call CJ in. Yours, CJ mate. Loved catching a ball. Yeah. Well, that's why you loved him in the team. There was a man who could catch a ball in any condition.
Any. And he was. He was very good at it for such a short man. He's not that tall, is he?
No, he's not tall at all. He's only a tiny fella. He's got tiny legs. You should tell him that. He loves hearing about how tiny his legs are. Millsy, finally on the short ball today. We are going to get back to Salika Winniata. I'm calling her back. I can't believe she hung up on us, frankly. Finally on the short ball today, though. Shield Challenge this weekend.
Yeah.
Manawatu, who were inarguably the most impressive attacking team in the comp last weekend, taking on Taranaki, who made 191 tackles. Let me repeat that. 191 tackles they made against Bay of Plenty in a losing effort last weekend. Wow, that is a lot of tackles.
I was actually surprised about that result. It's always a tough one going to Rotorua, but man, Bay of Plenty.
I know. Your boy Mike Delaney.
Oh, man.
Just calling the shots.
The old boy still got it, eh?
I'm really looking forward to this Shield Challenge. Been a long time for Manawatu. Haven't had the Shield since 1978, if I recall, and when my mighty Tunnifars took off them. and then denied them a challenge, again, which that means they've hated Northland for ever since. And Northland never had the one to Shield either. That's karma. Karma, man. There was a different era. But that game coming up Friday night, and you'll see that all live on Rugby Pass, and you'll see the Black Ferns taking on the Wallaroos on Rugby Pass as well, which is very exciting. And the test matches between the All Blacks and the Wallabies and the Springboks and the Pumas. And I think calling her back.
You got it.
I'm calling her back.
Hello.
Shorty, don't ever hang up on the short ball again. Don't ever.
No, I thought you guys hung up on me.
Don't you ever hang up on us.
Dad.
I can't believe it. This is the last time ever we are talking to you on this podcast. I'm not even going to wish you good luck for the match now. All right. No, that's it.
I thought you had enough of me.
No, I can't. Your audience was there. You had them in the palm of your hand. And then what?
We adapted.
You got distracted. Yeah. We had to go and talk about other things. Good on you, Shorty.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to. I'll see you Saturday.
See you Saturday. See you Saturday.
Yes.
All right, then.
Okay, thank you.
Go and arrest someone.
See ya.
Go and arrest someone.